and gentlemen, Mr. Dallas Snyder.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Well, this is my second class here in Pasadena, and as usual, I'm delighted always to teach, and I'm delighted that Reba has such a wonderful place to hold this. So, with that said, I have good news, as I always have for people. And the good news is that there's a power within you that is greater than any power on the outside of you, that's greater than any difficulty that you could ever have, that's greater than any problem that you can ever have. And when you know that you are one with this power and that this power is inside you, you can use that power and you can use it and all the problems in your life will start to dissolve because this power, this thing that we call God, is inside of you. We've known that for 2,000 years and more, that the kingdom of heaven is within, that it is the Father within that doeth the work. But we keep forgetting that because we look out and we see ourselves as human beings and we don't make a connection with the power. And we have to remember that we have this power, that we're connected with this power, and this power is the only power there is in the universe. There is only one power in the universe, and that power is a power for good. In this teaching, we teach that. We teach only unity. We do not teach duality. The world teaches duality. It tells you that there's good and there's bad. That is not so. It's only one power. You can use that power for good, or you can use that power for evil. That is a choice that you have. We are free to choose how we want to use the power. So when we talk about this thing that we call God, I always say that God loves us more than we will ever know. And God does do that because God allows us to have free will. God allows us to have choice. And that is a wonderful thing, that we can choose how we want to go through this life, how we want to feel at every moment. And when we realize that, we bring freedom into our life. We see, finally, that we are not victims and that we are not here on this plane of action to be victims, to suffer, to have stress, struggle, and strain. Those are things that are taught by the outside world, or what I call race mind. We do not teach that here. And once you realize that you can separate yourself and you can understand race mind and that there's a completely different way to go through life, once again, your whole life changes. So when you have a problem, any difficulty of any sort, remember that you have that power within you. And you can ask that power to get you through this. You can turn that over to this thing that we call God. We fail to do that because we think that we know it all. Or we think that somebody else we can go to and they will tell us how to do it. When all you need to do is sit down, go within, and say, I don't know what the hell I'm doing. But I know that you do. And I know that you are always guiding me, that you are always with me, and that you always want good for me. So I cannot solve the problem, but I know that you can. And then you let that go. You do what we call surrender. You surrender yourself to this power, knowing and trusting and believing that it will take care of the problem for you. That is called faith. And it's a wonderful thing. And we can all build our own faith. You're not born with faith. You may be born with it, but they take it away from you very quickly. And the world teaches you that this is not true. And I'm telling you the contrary. You know, in life outside, this teaching is exactly opposite always of what's going on in the outside world. I don't know how many people here were in scout training. I was a Boy Scout, and in Boy Scouts we learn God first, others second, and self third. In this teaching, we start with ourself, and we know that we are first, and we must always place ourselves first. That offends a lot of people because they think, oh, well, now he's going above God. I am never going above God because I know that all that I am is God, but I am not all that God is. and I realize that everything in life starts with me. All change that takes place starts with me. So I know that I am very, very important, and I know that this power is within me, and I know that this power is acting in as and through me. So I start with myself. This thing that we call God does not need worship. Does not need worship. It's far and above all of that. God is always beyond thoughts and words. That's all right. Any time that we try to describe God in any way, we are limiting the power of God. We are limiting God because God is infinite. And you cannot start to describe God, because once you do, you're making something that's infinite, you're making it finite. And you cannot do that. And that is why many of our treatments, many of our prayers, many of our wishes and desires are not met. Because we have made up our mind how it should be done. I like to say we don't give God any type of wiggle room whatsoever. And if you don't give God some wiggle room, how do you expect your demonstration, your desire to come to you? You have to realize that this thing, this intelligence that we're talking about, this one mind that we all live in, is so vast, so big, so intelligent that we cannot understand it. But everything is in that mind to solve any problem that we have. And when we use that, when we go there, our problem is solved. So that's the good news. Now, there's a power within you that is greater than any difficulty, any problem, any situation that you're facing in life. So the world is very convincing. It likes to tell you that the problem is too big to solve, that this problem is bigger than you. And no problem can be bigger than you. It can be bigger, perhaps, you could look at it and say it's bigger than I am, but it's not bigger than this thing that we call God. It can never be bigger than God. Nothing can be bigger than God. So all problems can be solved. All situations can be solved. All difficulties can be solved. The human mind likes to think that it's so intelligent, and it makes up most of its problems anyway. It makes up all its situations, and then it tries to solve it, because many people think that's the way life is. And that is not the way life is. And later on tonight, we're going to talk about life itself and what is life, and have a completely different understanding of what our life is and what life is in general. So, when you have a problem, go within. And know that you can do that, and that you have that. When I do treatment work, when I do healing work, when I do anything, I have no idea sometimes what I'm doing, but I know that the power within knows. I know that the Father within me knows. And I give that complete credit. I never say, I heal somebody. I never say, I solve the problem. You will notice every once in a while I slip out with we. I'll use that term, we, because I know that something else is occurring. Something bigger and better than I am is occurring. So I allow that to come through me. And if I can do it, you can do it. So remember that you are connected, that all you are is God, that you are not all that God is, and that you're completely connected to everything in this universe. And scientists are proving that constantly, that everything is interrelated. That everything is one. It just looks different because we look at it with these eyes that we have, which see absolutely nothing, by the way. Only the mind sees. The eyes see nothing. That's why two people see things differently. All right. With that said, we go into what I call race mind alerts. And this is just go out there and look at the world and see what it's telling us, and what we have learned from it, and what we use, which we think is the way it is. And it's usually not the way it is. And the race mind I'm going to use tonight came just recently in this room. I heard a race mind thing. So we'll discuss that and we'll see if we can clear that up. And that race mind thing came from this certificate here. When she said to Jules, you should be embarrassed. We never use the word should. Anytime that you use the word should, you have taken the person and yourself out of choice. You're saying you should have done it this way. She could have, which gave her a choice. So, and the other thing is, never be embarrassed. Never be embarrassed, never feel shame, and never feel guilty. Those are man-made things. But the word should, drop it from your vocabulary. Otherwise, you've taken your freedom of choice away. And people do that all the time. And we usually learn that from our parents. You should have done it this way, which meant you should have done it my way. So should is not a term that we use in metaphysics, because immediately it takes your choice away. Can you see that, that it takes a person's choice away?
I can't now. I mean, I did say it as in, I was completely teasing her.
Yes.
And I know you know that.
And I know you were completely teasing. But you see, the mind doesn't know that.
Right.
And the subconscious mind then uses that. And it, we keep repeating that. And that's out there in the world. And that's called race mind. And we laugh and we think that that's funny. And it's, and I love to laugh and I love to tell jokes and I love all that. But we have to watch ourselves, because your subconscious mind cannot take a joke. And any time that we take somebody's freedom away, our own freedom, we do that to ourselves all the time, because we say, oh, I should have done this, I should have done that. You have to change that to, I could have. And then see, you have a choice. And if somebody ever says to you, you should have done that, you say, I could have, but I chose not to. Thank you very much. And stop them in their tracks, because it will just keep repeating itself. And why I brought that up, not to embarrass you, to use that as an example, to show you how subtle and how insidious race mind is. And we do it all the time, and we don't realize that we're doing it. I was at the yoga studio today, and a woman said to me, you're getting sun. And I said, yes, I'm going to a tanning bed. And she said, don't you know the sun's bad for you? I said, I don't think the sun's bad for me. And this woman's a nurse, by the way. And then finally she said, oh, yes, you do get vitamins from it. You get this, that, and the other thing from the sun. Race mind, or the world, is teaching that the sun is very dangerous and very bad for people. Now, here is my theory on this. If we have a universe that completely supports us and a God that completely supports and loves us, why would that creator put a sun in the sky that would be bad for us? It wouldn't not do that. But then they say, of course, that it causes skin cancer. The latest reports on skin cancer, years ago, people laid in the sun and you never heard about skin cancer. Now you hear about skin cancer. Skin cancer is on the rise, not because of the sun, but because of sunblock. And now they're discovering that whatever is in sunblock is what's causing skin cancer. It's not the sun itself. The sun has been around for billions of years. It wouldn't be there doing its work. If you will remember, the ancient Egyptians called it Ra, and they worshipped the sun. And the reason why they worshipped the sun is, and this happened then, and it happens now, there is not one thing on this planet that does not contain the sun. Everything on this planet contains the sun, because the energy from the sun is in everything. That's you. It's in your vegetables. It's in your meat. It's in everything. Because the cow eats the meat, eats the vegetable, and it goes into the meat. And that's why the ancients thought it was a god, because it was in everything. It's in the rocks. It's everything. But as we advanced with our knowledge and so forth, we realized that, yes, the sun is in everything, but there's something even bigger than the sun, which is in everything and is in the sun. So the sun, I think we did this last week, the sun is merely secondary causation. God is always first cause. But if you look at it that way, you can see why the ancients would have worshipped the sun, because they realized it's in everything. It's in the wood. If you burn the wood, you release the energy from the sun. It's called fire. That's all it is. It just reverts right back to the sun. But the sun, the energy from the sun, is in everything on this planet. So that's why the ancients thought it was God. So, with that said, we'll do what we call a spiritual mind treatment. Spiritual mind treatment is just a form of prayer. It's an organized form of prayer. I'll do this in the first person, and all those who are willing may take it for themselves in the first person. And this is what I know, believe, and accept for myself. There is only one power in the universe, and that power is a power for good. And I am some part of that power. And because I am some part of that power, I have every quality of that power. Therefore, I can create my reality the way I wish. And I create my reality by using my mind. I use my thinking. I use my thought. And I use my imagination. And when I want something to come into my life, I envision that. And I hold that vision. And that vision must manifest itself. It must take clothes and dwell among us. So right here and right now, I hold the vision of prosperity and abundance. I hold the vision of money. I see money constantly flowing to me from every corner of the universe. There isn't a channel that is not open, bringing me money right here and right now. I realize that I am prosperous. I am prosperous because the power is prosperous. And I let that be so, and so it is. So it is. For the new people, you know that this is a class on prosperity. We talk about a lot of things, and we go here, there, and everywhere. But it's always going to come back to prosperity and abundance, including money. We all want money in our life. We all want abundance and prosperity in our life. And we are entitled to that. And we gain that power and are able to bring money into our life when we give up all the negativity that's going on in our mind around money. When we realize that we truly are worthy, deserving, and totally lovable, when you know that, money will come to you. Everything will come to you. This thing that we call God or the universe holds nothing back. Absolutely wants to give you everything. We do not receive everything because we don't believe that we are worthy of having it. And when we decide that we are worthy and open ourselves to the flow of abundance in the universe, we receive that abundance. And it just keeps coming and coming as we stretch our consciousness to contain it. So that's what we're doing in these classes. We're stretching our consciousness. We're looking at life differently. We're trying to see things in a different light. And when you start to see things in a different light, the whole thing changes also. Everything changes. And for the people that have been coming, I'm sure your lives have changed, that things have happened for you. And if you look back, why did they happen? Because you recognized that you were worthy, deserving, and totally lovable. And when you realize that and know that this thing that we call God is the only source of your supply, abundance, prosperity, and money will come to you. Now, we use affirmations, and we use what we call the treatment work, which is the prayer. Is everyone here still doing affirmations? Do you do affirmations?
I know of them through Jules, and she actually gave me... Were those affirmations, would you call them, your booklet?
Yes.
So, I done them for 2 days.
Ah, well, you look like you've been doing them forever.
Yeah.
Affirmations work. Do you do affirmations?
No.
No. Well, would you like to do affirmations?
Yeah.
What would you like to come into your life?
Peace would be nice to come into my life.
Yes. We all want peace of mind. And that's what really what will happen. Peace of mind will come. When peace of mind comes, a prosperity and abundance also come. But we work it in the other way. We get the money and the prosperity to get the peace of mind. You can work it in either direction. But you have to know something about yourself. First of all, you have to know that you're wonderful. Do you know that you're wonderful? Yes. Most of us are still working on that. You see, for some reason, the outside world has never taught us that we were wonderful. It never taught us that. And sometimes our families did not teach us that. They may have said they loved you. They may have done all kinds of nice things for you. But deep down, you never got the idea, geez, I'm a wonderful human being. I'm just wonderful. Because we remember being scolded. We remember little things that we did and so forth. Don't remember those things. That's gone. No. You've grown past them. We're never the same person, you see. We're growing all the time. But we hold things against us. You know, you cannot step in the same river twice. And that's what most people are trying to do. Or they're remaining in the river. The river keeps flowing. That's why you cannot step in it twice. You cannot do your life twice. So when you hold something against yourself, you're trying to stop the flow of life. You're trying to stop the river. Don't do that to yourselves.
Can I ask you something?
Yes,
else?
You may.
How do you stop calculating? Because I tell myself that I'm prosperous and I see money, but I'm constantly calculating when I'm going to get this money, then I'm going to deduct this, and I'm going to pay for that, and I'm going to pay this debt. So, you know, I'm still keeping myself like...
Yes, and that kind of thing will keep you right there. And the reason why that will keep you in that, because you're calculating when. You have to know it's already done, and it's done now. And that's the little trick that the mind won't allow you to do, you see, because the mind says, well, it's not. I don't have that paid for. I don't have that money. But you have to know that you do. Everything that you need is already in mind. Everything that you need is already done. But we don't know that. When we bring ourselves to that point where we know that everything is already done, then it's already done. So you don't calculate like that, because that just keeps you calculating. That's like waiting for tomorrow to come. Tomorrow never comes, because when it's tomorrow, it's today. You see?
Is that part of lack and limitation?
Absolutely, it's part of lack and limitation.
And not
but you want to get excited always about money coming to you. And you want to see money coming to you. But at the same time, you have to know that you already have it. And you live in that feeling of having it already. And then it will be there.
Well, it does come easier when you've already got some.
Yes. Of course.
Or, you know, when you're sitting.
It always comes easier. That's from the whole thing. He who has gets more. And that's in your consciousness. And that's what that means. You have a rich consciousness. You keep building your consciousness. You're going to get more. You're going to get more. But you can sit and think of wonderful things. But you have to know that you already have the money. The money is already there. Does that help you? But have fun with it, you know. That's the thing. In life, with all this stuff, have fun with it. Don't take this whole thing so seriously. Learn to have fun with it. And you'll see that that opens up a great deal. God, I don't know, people got the idea that God is a very serious thing. Well, God couldn't be serious, you know. How could God be serious? Didn't it make an hard bark? You know. You have to look at God as fun. You have to look at your life as fun and as a wonderful process that you're going through. And you just keep doing that, and it just works.
You know, that's interesting, because when I was $120,000 in debt, what I did was I created a vision book, and then I wrote checks to pay everything. Obviously, I didn't send them. I put them in the book, and then as I paid everything, I wrote paid on the checks. And then I wrote a check that was money for work that I'd done. And I've since deposited that kind of money as well. So for me, that visual helped as part of my affirmations.
Yeah, use your visual. Remember your wallets, use your wallet. Keep your money nice. Have lots of wallets with money in them. Know that all your purses are filled, you know. You did that, didn't you? You
were there. In my room.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I put money in my some purses I have in the closet that I don't use.
Yes. Well, I have wallets all filled with money.
The one thing that I notice is the consciousness of the probably the most difficult thing that I have continuously is to try to broaden my container and open it wider and wider. And it's been a challenging thing for me.
Yeah.
And so now I have some money, and I'm like, okay, so I have to have a plan, because I don't want my consciousness to stay at that amount.
Right.
And that's not been the easy, so I sort of want to hoard it, because I don't know when it's coming. So Reva and I have talked about it, and I know that more is coming, and I want, but from my mind to... You know, it constantly is wondering, is it really coming? But part of me is my affirmations are like contradictory, and so it's very confusing. I try to change my mind all the time because, and I talked to her, we bookended a lot because it's an issue for me. It has been an issue. Because now I have money and I'm like, okay, I can go and spend this money, or I can save this money, which would be different. And so I'm sort of caught between knowing that more is coming and being able to live my life, and not doing the same pattern I've been doing for the last 40 years.
Yes. Well, now you recognize the pattern, so you're not going to do it for the next 40 years. Do you do that affirmation, money is always freely circulating in my life and I always have divine surplus?
The first part, yes. And I do it more now than ever.
Well, you have to do the divine surplus. And then you must know that money is circulating in your life. And if it's circulating in your life, you have to start circulating money. Now, it doesn't mean that you spend every cent of money you have, but you have to spend that. Now, every time you spend money, you have to say, oh, this money's coming back to me multiplied abundantly. I love giving this money out. I love doing this. And it just keeps doing that for you. I told you the story when... During the holidays, I was going to give, and this is what your mind does. I thought, oh, I'll give this $100 away. And I thought, oh, now you could give 50. You see, then you start this bargaining, you know. They'll never know if you want, you know, they won't know these people started with 100, you know. So now I'm down to 50. I thought, oh, I'll give the 50 away. Then I go, now Dallas. You can't do that. You teach this class, you have to get 100 away. So I finally tried to get, I was begrudgingly. I wanted to do it, but here again, I thought, oh, now then I won't have it. Right? So then I have to say, ha-ha, money's always free to circulate in my life. I always have divine surplus. If I give this $100 away, it has to come back to me. It just has to come back to me. I was at Thursday morning. I gave it away on Thursday morning. By 4 o'clock Thursday afternoon, somebody handed me a $100 bill and said, "Thank you." I said, "Thank you very much." But after you get over arguing with your mind, you can't let your mind do it. Then you have to know it's going to come back, and you have to have that faith. And the money will come right back to you.
Well, it's interesting because I am very, when I give something away, I love to do that. That's not an issue with me. The part that might be the issue is I've given a lot of things away over my life, and I'm trying to pull back from me.
So you have.
Well, my favorite thing is to give stuff away. Money, presents. It's wonderful.
I think it's wonderful too. I love to give things away.
And
too.
I get really nice gifts in return from people that are unexpectedly all the time.
Well, yes.
But the hardcore money part is first time and really having some money is trying to figure out the plan.
Yes. Well, what is the plan?
Still working on it. Not sure what the plan is.
Well, put a little away, invest some. Excuse me. You cannot build a prosperity consciousness if you don't have a savings account. Because if you don't save even a dollar, that's why we have the red envelopes and so forth. It doesn't matter, but you have to. Your mind has to know that you're saving. Your mind has to know that you're doing that. Otherwise, you just keep, nothing comes in. You're not saving anything. It doesn't matter how much you save, but you have to have, along with the frustrated consciousness, comes a saving consciousness. A dollar, a little thing. And all those things become habits. Then they just become a habit. But you constantly say to yourself, money is freely circulating in my life, and I always have a divine surplus. And the money is always coming to me in the mail. You know. Well, I got $60 this week in the mail. But you just keep doing that. Affirmations absolutely work. But it's the whole idea of reading and moving your feet. When you do an affirmation, when I said to myself, I am a reader. Years ago, I thought I couldn't read. And I thought, okay, I am a reader. Well, now, if I make that affirmation, I am a reader, now I have to get a book, don't I? Mm. So then I got one book and I read. Now I got another. Now I have shelves and stacks of books everywhere. You see, I became the affirmation. You become your affirmation. But you have to do that. You don't say, money's freely circulating in my life and I always have a divine surplus and then hoard the damn stuff. You know. But you don't go out and blow it either. There's always a balance. Mm-hmm. And we're stretching our consciousness always to see how much we can get from the universe. And then we know that once we do it, it will take care of itself. Reva stepped out in faith doing this little center that she has. And Ray's mind told her not to do it. Her mind told her not to do it.
And they're called Dallas.
And she's and she's doing it anyway. And it's absolutely successful. And see, she has to know that. That it's absolutely successful. Now, not down the road, not tomorrow. Right here and right now, it's successful. And it is successful. Are we not here tonight doing something? That's part of it. So you have to see that. But the thing is that we discount our lives and we discount what's happening in our lives. Every time we get that, and that money that you get, you have to say, thank you, God, constantly. Oh, I love all this money. I can handle this. I know exactly what to do with it. And if I don't know what to do with it, you're going to tell me what to do with it. And you get in partnership with God. Look in the back of all your money. It says, in God we trust. Start to trust in God. Start to do that. Organize your money. Feel your money. Sleep with your money. I always sleep near my money. I always sleep near my money. I never go to bed without saying, ha-ha. Even while I sleep, I make money. I know we all make money. You have a savings account while you're sleeping. It's making money. See, you can make that affirmation. And you have to realize, huh, look at this. Money's always around. It's always making something for me. It's doing this. It's doing that. But you have to keep reminding because the world wants to tell you that money is scarce. Money is this. Money is that. Money is energy. And money is your energy. Money is your consciousness. And it's the thing that you put behind your money. And if you put love behind your money and love your money, you see, things will happen. We don't do that because the world out there says what? Money is evil. Well, it doesn't say that. It says the love of money is evil. But we love our money. But not in an evil way. We love to have money because you love to give gifts, because you love to watch it circulate, not because you're hoarding it, not because you're going to do something dreadful with it. And there's no one in here, isn't there, that wants to save money to build a bomb or something, whatever? No. So you cannot be afraid of money. And you have to see it coming to you. And you have to know, I can handle the money. Most people don't have money because they think they can't handle it. And most people say, oh, well, if I made a lot of money, it would just go to taxes. Don't be afraid of your taxes. If you made $1 million and they took, what, 20% or 40%, look, you have a lot of money left. What is that? But somebody doesn't want to pay the government $40,000 to get $1 million? It's ridiculous. So you have to see what your mind is telling you about money. What is it telling you about money? That it's easy and effortless to make money. You see, in where we were taught, money does not grow in trees. It's very difficult to find. It's hard work. You can't do this. You can't do that. Start changing your belief about money and the belief about yourself. And know that it's easy to make. And if you make enough money to support yourself now and into the future, that there's always money there for you. And then it will just keep coming to you. And have a figure, how much you want to make each day or each year and so forth. Have that figure. The universe will match that for you. You see? The universe will match what you have. Haven't you done that and said in your life, this year I want to make 40,000? Haven't you made 40,000? If you made 40,000, couldn't you make 80,000? God doesn't know the difference between 40 and 80. But we do. And we say, oh, boy, this year I can make this much. Well, why don't you say, I can make more? You see? But we put the limits on everything. There's no limit in the mind of God. Only in our own minds do we place limits. And then every time we place a limit, we limit God. You see? When we put a limit on anything, we're limiting God. But we say, oh, I only have this much education, or this job will only pay this much. This will only, you know. And none of those things are true. None of those things are true. We live in a world of complete possibilities. And you have to know that everything is possible. And it doesn't matter, you know, what you're doing, where you're doing. If you think that you're getting your money from your job, and it can only pay that much, then that's all you're going to get. But if you know that the source of your supply is God, even if you have that job, you're going to get more money. It just works that way. You'll discover that money is one of those things that you used to spend a great deal of money and have very little. Now you're going to learn that you can spend very little and have a great deal of things. You see? It just reverses itself. And all of a sudden you have that, and you say, oh, my goodness, I used to spend all this money and have nothing. Now look, I spend very little, and look, I have all this stuff. It's just a different way to look at things. Haven't you seen that?
Yeah, actually, now that you say it that way, yes.
Yes. See, but you have to look at that, and you have to see those things. But our mind doesn't. It's like the should. They just come out. We don't think. And we don't see the things. And that's absolutely true. That you can have all this stuff. And you can have abundance and prosperity without money. But it's nice to have money also. It's nice to have money also. And then you open yourself to receiving gifts from every corner of the universe and from everybody. You see, everything is a potential to bring abundance, prosperity, and money to you. And then it opens up and it comes to you. But it's just opening up yourself in these channels so that it can circulate. We're the ones who stop it. And we usually stop it by starting to hoard. And we stop it by not being able to receive. And you have to be able to receive. So learn to receive. Know that people want to give you things. One of my biggest affirmations, people give me things. And people give me things. It just absolutely works that way. And then you share that. You do things. But you'll see, it just, life just changes. It's different. Life is different than what we were taught. Life is more and a birth certificate and a death certificate, and what goes on in between that we think is life. And life is much more than those two things. Life is much more than what we see. And you must learn to see that and appreciate yourself and see the magnificence in you, see the power that you have, see how wonderful you are, and look around and see miracles all the time, and be so pleased with yourself and so pleased with this thing that we call God, that this whole universe and this earth that we live in is absolutely wonderful. And then more things open up for you. Instead of seeing all that, if you watch television, you get to think, my God, there's people just are killing each other all the time. I flipped it around the other night. Every station I turned on, there was somebody lying dead. Somebody dead. And then we get that impression, my, the world's awful. Everyone's killing everybody. You know, this is going on, that's going on. And the one program, they're voting on it. Who's going to do this? Or, I mean, what is happening is television is becoming interactive. And television is going to be the interactive thing. It's not going to be your parents, the school teacher, anything. It's going to be television telling you exactly how the world is and what's going on. And now vote for this, now play this game, now do this, now do da 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 da. It's becoming interactive. And it's becoming almost human. And it's telling you what's going on. It's a machine, for goodness sakes. It doesn't have that power. But we give it that power all the time. We give it that power all the time. Look at life differently. Look at your life differently. See yourself in a whole new and different light. See that power within. See that Father within. And then learn to use it. Learn to appreciate it. And know that you're not alone, that you are connected, and that life is not a stress, struggle, and strain thing that the world wants to tell you. It's not a dog-eat-dog world. I grew up with that always, as a dog-eat-dog world out there. You know? What was the other one? It's a concrete jungle. When I lived in New York, they called it the concrete jungle. Now, how can you have, with an attitude like that, how can you find peace of mind if you think you're living in a concrete jungle? You have to wake up every morning and know that you're living in paradise. And then you will do that. It's just learning to change your thinking about yourself and about life itself. What we were taught about life is not what life is all about. It is not what life is all about. I talked to my cousin the other night. She wanted to tell me about everyone in the family and what pills they were taking and how sick everyone was in the family. Her brother, these people are much younger than I am, by at least 20 years, I'm sure. And they have high blood pressure, and they have this, and they have that, and they're taking cholesterol pills, and they're doing all this kind of stuff. And she's going on like it's, you know, just right. That conversation, she thought that was the best conversation you could have. I'm on the other end. If she's ever seen me cringing on the other end, it's just horrible. I just, oh, my God. You know, I often turn the phone that way, and then I put it, oh, yeah, she's still telling me, you know. Because that's the way they live. And you don't want to live in that world. You don't want to live in that world. You can live in a different world. So choose a different world. Choose a life and see life differently. And it works every time for you when you start to do that. As soon as you start to appreciate yourself, as soon as you start to realize that you matter, as soon as you realize that you matter, do you know that you matter? No, I know that. Think of that. Say to yourself, I matter. Yes, right now.
I matter.
Yes. That can use that as your affirmation. And know that you matter. Is there anyone else in here who doesn't think that they matter?
I'm kind of feel that me.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
You have to know that you matter. You matter to this universe. you matter to this thing we call God. This thing we call God would be incomplete without you. You absolutely matter. And you have to know that about yourself. And we weren't taught that as kids even, that you matter. Yes, you're there, you're here. But you have to know that you matter. And what you're thinking matters. What you're telling people matter. But you have to know deep down, I matter. And that this thing called God would be incomplete without me. And that's how much you matter. And if your life isn't working, and you're not feeling good about yourself, do that affirmation every day. I matter. I matter. Because you do matter. And you have to know that. And that is one of the things I can tell people. You're worthy, deserving, and totally lovable. Most people know those two. The third one being lovable. Most people do not feel lovable. But across the board, I can find people that don't think they matter. Now, to go through life not knowing that you matter is not a nice way to go through life. It's not a nice way to go through life because it's difficult to get up, isn't it? It's difficult to keep plodding along when you think, well, what the hell, I don't matter. It's a very powerful one. I used it for years. I didn't know I mattered until my friend Betty told me one day. I was working at a store called The Storehouse selling furniture. And when that hit me like a brick. She said, but Dallas, don't you know you matter? Me? Matter? Well, I was thrilled with that. I had it plastered all over the store, all the cash registers, every place. I matter. I matter. Till I finally convinced myself that I matter. But we have to work on ourselves. Life is an inside job. We have to work on that. Until this, you never probably knew that till I said something to you. Or you had an inkling, maybe. Because no one comes up to you and says, do you think you matter? You know, we don't. In polite, what they call polite society, the world outside, they want to hide all that stuff. The world outside is completely dysfunctional. If you think you can make any sense out of it, forget it. It's completely dysfunctional. And it's always putting things under the carpet. It doesn't want people to know that you don't matter. And it doesn't want to help you with that. It doesn't want to help you with that.
But you also have to come to a consciousness of that, too. So I remember what you're saying to me reminds me of many, many years ago. I was standing at a management conference that my dad put on, and Carl Karcher, Carl Jr., was there, and he said, who are you? And I said, oh, I'm not anybody, I don't matter. And he goes, you are somebody. So even though you hear the word that you may have heard at some point in your life,
Of course, that's what I mean about the world. And they just go right past you. But you know that somewhere there's something. So learn that. And don't be embarrassed about it. And don't think, oh my, I can't reveal this to anybody because they'll think I'm awful. We all have to suffer with that. Anybody who tells you that they haven't gone through this stuff, that their life is just old, I always knew this, they're lying to you. They're lying to you. The world loves to lie to you, and it loves to tell you different things, and it loves to push things under the carpet. But that's the number one. You show me people that are depressed, I will show you somebody that thinks they do not matter. They think they do not matter, and they get depressed. But we all have some of that going on in us, and we must work on it constantly. We must prove that to ourselves that we do matter. And you always matter to your Creator. You always matter to your Creator. And you must raise your consciousness to that level.
And you also need to be around people that
tell you that all the time. Yes, honestly say, and that you can discuss it with and not be embarrassed. You weren't embarrassed, were you? No, don't be embarrassed about that. Say, geez, you know, I had this feeling. And let it help you bring that so that you do matter. That's what you're here for, to learn those things.
You know, what's just as good as being around people that tell it to you is if you start telling it to other people.
Yes.
Because when you start telling it to other people, you're saying it to yourself, right?
You're only ever talking to yourself. There's only one thing.
Yeah.
Why do you think I do these talks? I only teach what I need to know.
Well, perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I only teach what I need to know. That's why I come here. I would do this every night. I would do this every night of the week, simply because I love to hear it. And I love to know that I matter, and I love to know that you matter. And if I can bring you to that thing, it helps me and it helps us all. Because the whole idea is to raise people up in life, and the world wants to push you down. And we must raise ourselves up. And the more I raise myself up, I give you the freedom to raise yourself up. Because this thing we call God does not show favor. What it can do for me, it can do for you. And what I did for myself, I can teach you to do for yourself. And I need reminded on a daily basis that I matter, that I'm lovable, that I'm worthy, that I'm deserving. And I run those things through my head every day. Every day. And that's what you have to do. Otherwise, you get tangled up in the world, just never going to say one nice thing to you. Give up the idea that it's going to do that for you. It's not. It's not going to do it. And most people out there, because they don't matter, and they have that feeling that they don't matter, they don't want you to find that out, so they're never going to bring it up, and they want to keep you down where they are. And that's why we have the dysfunction that we have. That's why we have the dysfunction. You absolutely matter. Know that and use it every day before you go to audition. Say to yourself, I matter here. I matter.
Well, visually speaking, that we all matter. I remember a while back I used to have a huge computer monitor. It was a great monitor. It worked great for a long time. But then one day I noticed one pixel had died. And just that one pixel not being there, or color just not being right, made the whole thing just not worth it. So if you've ever seen a digital picture where one pixel is missing, or a computer monitor, or a television set where one little dot is different or not there anymore, then you know how incomplete the whole picture is. And visually, I'm a very visual person.
That's wonderful.
That's what that reminded me.
That is, and that's exactly what it is. Because we live in a holographic universe, and this thing that we call God is holographic. And what happens in one point of mind happens in all points of mind. And that's why you matter. And that's why we all matter. And that's why God would be incomplete without you and without me and without everybody. The picture would not be complete. It would be missing one piece. And because it's missing one piece, it would not be a clear picture. So you absolutely matter. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I. And there ends the lesson. Thank you.